Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Whole. as you and I. And this is what has angered God. This is why God had to come in person. You read it in your Genesis. You know he said that you would serve a people who would ill entreat you. That means abuse you, misuse you, oppress you, and kill you. That would ill entreat you. Treat you ill. Right? And God said after that, he would come. He didn't come with partners, associates. He came by himself to do a job. And what is the job that the God had said he would do? Judge who those whom had mistreated you. Right? Let us see something. The media plays out these things. We always demonize. We always looked at as the violent people. And I asked the question to certain white people when we were talking about the perception. And they said, well, the statistics say that there's huge amounts of black-on-black crime. And there's violence in the urban community. And there's this. And I said, yeah, that's true. I said, but who is over the statistics? But if we want to go into the statistics and the statistics about white people, let's look into it really. Yes, there's a high level of black-on-black crime. But what you're seeing is the blacks are lashing out. That is the first act of a person who has been abused and misused. You lash out, right? And especially if you have been trained to think in the manner of your oppressor, and if your oppressor hates you and your color, and he brings you up in a society that hates you and your color, and you have no outlet, of course you're going to lash out at you and your color. But there's even some more startling statistics that you should look at. How about white-on-white crime? It exceeds black-on-black crime by miles. But that does not get any highlight in the news. Because they're willfully and purposely trying to demonize us and trying to have us as a mock before the world on the day of God's presence. This is the Bible. Open up the Bible, teaches you this. Brothers and sisters, we got a lot of clips. We'll try to get to them all, but we have to lay the base. We have to see these things as they really are because they're interconnected. Now, there's black-on-black crimes there. There's no unity, hardly any unity in the black community. There's so much going on, and they want to use that, and then when you throw it back in their face, well, who did the division in the black community? We have ample amount of stats, even enough books and paperwork that can fill up a library talking about the COINTEL programs, talking about all of the things that the government had planned to divide and keep you divided so that they can keep their rule over you. Why is that missing in the conversation? Because that is at the base of what you see happening in black society. We don't examine these things that are given to us. We don't examine them like we should. And black people, we take what they say, hook, line, and sinker. And then we present it out there where we got to stop killing each other. Yeah, we do. But then whenever you are sick, and the black man in America is sick, he has been made ill by this virus that has been dominant over him, especially in the midst of it, for 400 years. This virus is an unnatural man in his way of civilization, and it has made us sick in the heart, sick in the head, and sick physically. And so we need a doctor. And the Bible tells you in the last chapter of the Old Testament that he would send you Elijah, right? And that this messenger, this prophet, the last before the presence and manifestation of God would come with healing in his wings. What? What do you mean, healing in his wings? He's an angel? Well, in a way he is, but not like what you think. What does the wing symbolize? It symbolizes wisdom. And if you partake of the wisdom, there's medicine in the wisdom to heal you from all of your ills and aches. You will no longer be a victim to the white man's Eurocentric thinking. You will never be a victim to black-on-black violence. You will not be a victim to any of the tricks and snares laid if you partake of this medicine that God himself gives you through his messenger. And it will elevate you as wings do above the earthly things that now hold you down. The long walk, America's point of no return. Now, for centuries, we have been abused and misused, right? And for centuries, we have been purposely blocked from equal opportunity or equal playing field. And for centuries, we have been programmed into hating each other. I even heard some people, someone sent me an email the other day talking about these brothers are talking about they follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in their talks, I have direct quotes from these people that were sent to me. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm just putting it out there as an example, okay? Calling, they're saying that they represent the messenger, yet when they're talking to the people that the messenger came to lift up out the grave, they're calling them fags or sissies or whatever. I don't know. I'm not here to denounce anyone, but what I'm saying is that's not Elijah Muhammad. That's not his teacher. No. He said, I didn't come to accuse my people. I came to free them. And so I know sometimes in a position of stewardship, we may get frustrated at the lack of progress that we make and trying to wake the dead up. But look at it like this. That's not your job, perchance. It is the messenger's job to do this. And if the messenger went through this for 40 years, and all you can be is a helper, and not once did he use that terminology. Are you in reality following the messenger? Or you are using that as a expiation, a out clause, a veil for ulterior motives? I'm not talking about anyone. I'm just speaking in general. Because, see, this stuff is affecting us. And when we are sick in the head and sick in the heart and just plain sick, we must have the right diagnosis from the doctor. The doctor must give us the right prescription of medicine to heal us. And if he gives us the medicine, he'll make sure he'll tell you this. And then there's warning labels on the medicine when you pick it up. Do not drink. Do not take this with alcohol. Do not take this at such and such. Take it at this time. Take it every day. Take it three times a day. He gives you clear instructions of how to return to better health and better life. Well, the book tells us that this last one comes with healing in his wings. So he comes with a prescription for our ills. And if we add to that prescription, or if we take away from that prescription, there can be unintended consequences or side effects that can warp your thinking, that can warp your perception of reality. And while you're thinking that you're teaching right and being right, all the while you're wrong. And in this day and time, this may mean that you are dead wrong, if you get my drift. The long walk, America's point of no return, part two. I'm talking to you to lay this base with you because the black man and woman in America has so many enemies. We have so many things that are going on. And they are in full stride, the devil is, to try to prevent you from seeing what is going on. And we who are in positions of stewardship or leadership, sometimes if we can get an audience, we do what we can to keep that audience, even if it means fudging the truth or dumbing down the truth or gutter language or ghetto language or whatever. And it may tap some people who belong to that ilk. But what Muhammad wants you to understand is that if you're going to be a follower of his, you must strive, like you said, your prayers, to be upright and not look at your brother who's in the mud or your sister who is in the mud as a lost cause, because you don't know what God has in store for them tomorrow. You don't know what's in store for you tomorrow. You're looking at yourself as though you're this big cat. But you don't know there may be a snare laid for you. And you may be an example for someone further down the line. So we got to humble ourselves, especially those who have positions of influence over people. Because this thing that is going down in America and globally is going to shake you to the marrow of your bones. The reason I'm talking about all of this, brothers and sisters, is because they demonize us, and then we go and we join on, nigga this and nigga that. And it shows you the mental composition of these people, the makeups of them. A lot of us, we wear the bow ties, and we still got them. And remember, behold, I make all things new, a new heaven and a new earth, right? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, and our Savior has arrived, he says that we will bring about a new government in a new world. And how do we go about this? Mama says, the first thing is to change the thinking. And the thinking will change the actions. And then you will change the condition and the situation. Right? And he said, and the change would be so dramatic that you would think that you were actually in a physically new world. You can't tell me that after God's divine wisdom coming into you, and you saying that you bow to this wisdom, and you more gutter than before you ever heard the word. No, no, that's not how it goes, right? If you are an embracer of the truth, and if you grow with the truth, there's a change that takes over. Now, we're not all right. Because we can't be right now 100% in this environment of wrong. But you say in your prayers, right, that you would strive to be upright. Make a concerted effort to be upright. Even if it means the loss of friends, the loss of your followers, the loss of your temple, the loss of this or that. You would strive to be upright to he who originates the heavens and the earth. God will hold you accountable for what you say in your prayers. We have not become so mighty that we can walk through mountains. Right? Brothers and sisters, this is some real talk with you. So, you got the devil demonizing us. You got us demonizing each other. But this is that time for that. The frustration, the anger, the disillusionment and disappointment. It's all building up. It's a swell building up. And for so long, there has not been a release valve, an out pressure valve. So the pipe is steadily filling with the steam of anger, disillusionment, and dissatisfaction, and it's bound to explode. And that's why Muhammad says, civil insurrection, revolution, and war in the midst of collapse. Are we not seeing that? Are we not seeing that? So what we're trying to do is lay the base for you to see that God is justified in taking America. He's justified in destroying America because America hates you and she continues to lie. Think about this. They won't lecture China. They won't lecture Russia. They want to lecture Iran. They want to lecture everybody on human rights, right? And yet they're openly talking about Guantanamo Bay and torture at over 150 black sites, meaning secret sites around the world. Just snatch and kidnap people. What about in Chicago, where the police have been snatching up black youth on the street and holding them without charge and torturing these people for months? And this is not something that is confined to Chicago. This is a national phenomenon. America comprises 5% of the total population of Earth. yet she makes up 25% of the prison population of Earth. And 85 to 95% is black. What about the human rights there? What about the human violations there? What about the crimes against humanity there? Talk back to me. 347-989-0855. The long walk. America's point of no return. And she's not getting better by it. She's getting more deceitful by it. She's getting more hateful and more spiteful by it. You hold a gun, you're a rider. You're a thug. You're an angry black man. But you have these racist people come on TV fighting against the government and saying if the government comes on federal land, now listen to this, not their properties, but federal land, we'll fight them tooth and nail. We are patriots. And all the media puts it out there, patriots. But when you fight for justice, look at those rioters, those troublemakers. You see? You cannot get a square or fair deal under this system and amongst these people. That's why it takes something more powerful to remove you from their clutches and to bring them to their knees. Hence, we are in the judgment of America and her economy, the greatest tool and lever that she has used to suppress and oppress black America and the entire globe, is now crumbling. God goes to work after that to bring her to her knees. And all while that's going on, she's accumulating more debt, right? She's slashing this fund. And what's amazing is one congressman says this, that we should pass a bill that anyone on food stamps should not be able to own a car, but they must get a job. Well, how are they going to get to work? Because contrary to most beliefs, most people who are receiving, I should say most black people, let me put that in perspective. Most black people who receive SNAP or any government assistance, they have jobs. Right? These are statistical facts. But you don't get this. But guess what? The majority of white people on it don't have jobs. But they make you seem like you the lazy one. You the leech. Right? So I brought an article up on the Highlands 1555 law speaking something of this. And the article was called There's a National Attack on SNAP Benefits. But contrary to widespread belief, the real welfare queen is uneducated, single, and white. In this article, it shows you statistically the people who comprise food stamps. Now, believe it or not, this is one of the averages here right here. However, the average person on food stamps, and I'm skipping down, I'm going up and down, I'm just going through a few things, is not lazy, illiterate, or even black. According to the data, listen to this, 37.6% of food stamps were being allotted to white non-Hispanics. And that's compared to 23% of blacks. But you don't hear that, do you? Do you? It's more statistics in this article that should open up your eyes. You can go there and read it on the Irons 1555 law. But what I'm trying to point out to you is that contrary to popular belief and popular notion, that the facts are different from what they call facts that they present before the media, before the radio. You thugs, you leeches, you don't have a job, you don't want a job, you don't do this and this. This is what's in this man, and it comes out of him as easy as a web comes out of a spider. And yet you're still protesting around for a job, a high-paying job. That's what the white man brought you here for, to work. He didn't bring you here, as Muhammad says, to make you no equal. He brought you here to make you a slave. That's what he brought you here for. And what do slaves do? Work outside of protesting for justice, when in fact they should be protesting and telling the government, look, for 400 years plus, we have not been able to get along with you. For 400 years, we've been at the bottom of your society. You have a military full of us. You have a college full of us using our brightest minds to further your rule. What we want now is not a job. What we want now is not justice under your laws. What we want now is a complete divorce and separation in a few states of our own. Anything less than this would not be acceptable. This is a reasonable thinking. But do you notice that most so-called educational or educated black people are against separation? Have you ever noticed that they are forebegging the white man? I want to be a professor at Harvard. Build your own Harvard. What's so special about Harvard or Yale? They tell you in the name who they built for, the Ivy League, white people. But the madness in us, the stupidity and the ignorance that they put in us, we can't see the forest for the trees. But this is a justification of God removing this devil. And remember that they must receive according to what they have given out. So God is destroying the monetary system. See, as we laid that branch for that, you see how we've been mistreated and how we're constantly deprived of justice, constantly deprived of equality and freedom. And any time they pass these laws, remember what Muhammad says, that these are retractable laws. They retract these laws whenever they're to the benefit of you. And aren't they doing that now? Didn't they do that when, after black people had guns in their hands, they started changing the laws? Then, when black people became a voting bloc, they started putting you in jail, stripping you under law of your right to vote, even though it really don't matter. But just to show you how wicked, he doesn't even respect his own laws while claiming to be a very patriotic person who must have the Constitution. These are retractable laws, and we can never hope for justice under them. So God has come in person, and he wants to undermine the very foundation and power base of the richest and the most powerful of the Caucasian nations to emerge in the last 6,000 years. He's removing the dollar from trade. He's removing the manufacturing from America, the outsourcing, the insourcing, the jobs, the retail, the businesses. Isn't that what's happening right now? And all the while, the storms are hitting up, the floods are happening, flash floods, droughts, snowstorms, hailstorms, earthquakes, wildfires, right? Tornadoes, just a whole slew of tornadoes back to back to back. And what you don't understand, yes, this destroys infrastructure. Yes, it destroys peace of mind. Yes, it destroys crops and animals and livestock. But it also taxes the taxpayer and taxes the government, because the government has to remove the rubble and account for more of it and put more money down to sustain the people who can no longer sustain themselves. It's a burden upon a burden upon a burden, one calamity after the other one, to break the power of your oppressor. Now, so they're doing these funny money tricks in the books and stuff like that. But I want you to listen to Peter Schiff talk about how the Fed is trying to rescue it. This is from the last show I wanted to play. But I want you to pay close attention to Mr. Peter Schiff and talking about the situation in America's economy. I see Blog Talk Radio is blocking it. Well, guess they don't want you to hear that. That was a 7-minute clip, and it had some powerful stuff in it. But since don't want that. Let's go to another clip real quick. And I want you to pay attention to Mr. Gerald Celente, okay? Please pay close attention to this man. Listen.
Tom, thanks for having me on, Greg.
I don't know. Some people don't know this, but you're very good on the economy. I mean, you called, the market crash in 08 and the housing bubble and stuff like that. And I wanted to talk about the most recent actions this past week with, the European Union. They just look like they're panicked. I mean, Draghi, look, he got his bazooka out and he had, 5 basis point drop in interest rates and didn't look like it did what it was supposed to do. Give us your feelings on what's going on in Europe.
Tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. And the how we got here was, people will say to me, well, Celente, you've been saying this market's going to decline for a long time. And they're right. I said it back. I thought it would end in 2010. I had no idea that they would make up something, Greg, called quantitative easing. Oh, yeah, that means shoveling a lot of cheap dough into the system to prop up the equity markets, because we know as a fact it didn't boost the economic growth. Economic growth chugged along at about 2%. And then again, without getting into all the data, 51% of the people making under $30,000 a year, that wealth from 2009 when they started quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy, 95% of it went to 1%. And as a matter of fact, here's a quote here that's worth reading. It's from David Fisher.
Oh, yeah. The former Dallas Fed president who said they front-loaded the system and they wanted to create a wealth effect. I can't believe he admitted to that.
That's right. So
He admitted that they, quote, front-loaded the system and he wanted to create a wealth effect. Isn't that
you
right?
Got it. And then last Wednesday, when it was the celebration of, 2009, when the market started going up, he's back on the news and he said, quote, we injected cocaine and heroin into the system to enable a wealth effect that, of course, he admits that didn't work. Now we are maintaining it with Ritalin. And he said, the Fed is a giant weapon that has no ammunition left. Let's take his quote. This is very important. We injected cocaine and heroin into the system. You go back to our 2010, a trend alert. We said this was no recovery. It was a cover-up. But what he just said is a criminal act by injecting cocaine and heroin into the system. It was a criminal act by the banking gang. Let's get it straight, folks. You inject cocaine and heroin, those are illegal drugs, and so too is quantitative easing and zero interest rate and now negative interest rate policy, because it's a war on we, the little people, the savers, that have no place to put our dough. And now going back to last week, with Draghi coming out, again, the former head of the Goldman Sachs gang's European division, Mario Draghi, the guy that dragged Greece into the Euro group when he was with the Goldman Sachs gang and they weren't eligible to do it. Yes, that Mario Draghi, now what they did, not only did they increase the stimulus from 60 billion euros to 80 billion euros, but get this, man, they're buying corporate bonds as well. And the bond buying bubble has burst. You can see what happened when all of a sudden they announced this waiting, everybody greatly anticipated announcement. Gold prices went way down. The markets went way up. And then all of a sudden, the markets went down. And gold prices went way up. And you know why? Because everybody knows it's a fraud. Even the Fed guys. Go back again. How we got here, where we are, and where we're going. Let's just go back to January 29th. That's not ancient history. Hey, what happened? You remember? Yes, the Bank of Japan started negative interest rates. Let's go back a week and a half before that. Let's go to Davos. And we heard the guy Dalio of Bridgewater Associates, one of the biggest hedge funds in the world, at Davos, announced that we need more quantitative easing and stimulus. The very next day, Mario, Goldman Sachs gang Draghi, announces, hey folks, when March comes around, we're going to stimulate. The markets went way up. And then, by the way, happened at Davos with Dalio, and then also, I mentioned the Bank of Japan with negative interest rates. Yeah, before he went to Davos, that low-life slimer called the governor of the Bank of Japan, he tells the parliament, the Japanese parliament, we have no plans for negative interest rates. So what I'm saying is, when anybody says the game is rigged, all you have to do is go to Davos, go back to the facts, you see where we are, it's not working. And by the way, you look at the price of gold from back when negative interest rates in Japan announced on January 29th, and now it's up like over, you know, well over 150. Oh,
yeah, 200. I think it was 10. I think it's pretty close to about 1050, 1045 in the early
right,
part of December.
Right.
Now it's 12, I don't know, 70, 80, something, you know, something like that. So that's a huge move in gold.
Yep. So back to that time, you could see the move, because all this is, it's heroin and cocaine. It doesn't fix you, and neither does Ritalin.
Now, if you listen to some of the shows, our previous shows from the last few months, last few years, how did I describe the system of America? I said it was a junkie system, right? It was a crackhead system. And all they kept doing was trying to rob the dope man for more, and they keep saying that they're getting better, but they keep robbing their own, the dope, and injecting it in themselves. What did this man say? Even the man on top, the monetary policy, said they injected the system with economic cocaine and heroin to keep it alive. And now they're keeping it going through injecting Ritalin, talking about quantitative easing. They're desperate for the system to continue. If the system fails, the power over you collapses. They don't have the control over the media. They have no funding for the media. They don't have the control. You, brothers and sisters, you don't know where this thing is going. And so in the desperation from Europe to America, they continue to do these false flag terror operations across the globe. And notice all the while, all of these so-called Christians in America and in Europe and are committing all these heinous acts, especially the nations themselves, by bombing nations and robbing nations and torturing people and all of this stuff. They continue to pull a rabbit out their hat with a Muslim here and a Muslim there with a knife or with a gun or shot up this and just conveniently put there because the system is tanking and they want you to reject Islam in the last days of their power. They feel that if they're going to go down, they want to take the so-called Negro with them, so it's blasted on the TVs, in the radio, and on the internet, constantly. Mr. John Kerry says, Daesh has been committing crimes against humanity, against Christians. That's true. And against Muslims you left out. And against all other religions. But we go back, see, when they say this, these are just what I tell people who are so-called teaching the messenger's teachings. They reduce the teachings to a slogan. And when you do that, you don't get the root cause of this and that. So if we were to look at him on face value and look at these news sites on face value and the news on face value, then we would think Islam is the most heinous thing. Muslims are the most violent and brutal people. And look at all of these terror organizations from Al-Qaeda to ISIS, right? They're all so-called Muslims and talking about fanatical Islam, right? But then when we go to the heart of it, Al-Qaeda is an invention of the big new Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's former National security advisor, national security advisor, right? ISIS is from that heath and was put. We played all the truth that you want on the show about all of these ex-CIA people and all of these former intelligence people and military people are saying that it was America, Israel, and NATO that put ISIS together. And when we talk about it, Al-Qaeda is a, it means the network. They don't tell you this. The network of what? Or the base of what? CIA operatives in the Muslim lands. Huh? Talk back to me. So when you go deeper, you see that it's not Muslims killing them. It's so-called Christians killing them. They have mercenaries that they're using, and all you have to do today is just scream, Allahu Akbar. Oh, he was a Muslim. I heard him say, Allahu Akbar. You see, this is how the devil is coming at you. He's inundating your mind with madness to confuse you so that you won't be able to see your way out of the fog. So much confusion going on. Isn't that what Elijah Muhammad says? That the boy's on their way, and they're ready to come get us, what he said. And it means the exodus would take place in the midst of the confusion, with the brains not working right. We're in the midst of confusion, but it would only grow more confused by the hour. And hatred amongst the Christians or the white America against Muslims will explode, just like it is doing in Europe, because by nature they are against submitting to anyone's will or authority other than themselves. Right? America won't impose her will on everybody. France won't impose her will on all her colonies. Right? And if you break out of that, they'll bomb you, demonize you, lie on you, and imprison you. Right? They don't want to submit to anything because they believe that they're the power. But they want you to be blind in this day and time because they know God is present. And they know that you can be easily misled. All they got to do is put out a couple of Masonic conspiracies or put out a few lies or half-truth, and you run for it. The plain truth you run from, it got to be more than that. And the lies and the conspiracies you run to, they made you like that. They know you're like that. This shows you that God is justifying and removing these people. They have been troublemakers from their very inception. And from the very making of them, they have shedded the blood of black people. And from the shedding of our blood will come their doom. The long walk, America's point of no return. Part two. Now, as we say about this situation with the monetary policy and the collapse, as I said, they're desperate, right? And so they want to attack Islam, and they're going to come out with more and more of this. This brought back to mind to me something that Saladin was telling me a long, long, long time ago. And it really struck home when the Charlie Hebdo or whatever you call it, in France or whatever, that took place. It really struck home. And then there was this hatred against Muslims everywhere, and Islam, violent crime against Muslims, spiked. And we're seeing that all over. And we're seeing how America is becoming more Christian radicalized. And Saladin, he used to tell me, he said, brother, was giving us in the ranks that one day it may become too dangerous for the Muslims to be out on the street like this. He was talking about, you know, the soldiering and selling papers and all that stuff. And he was telling me, he said, it may come a time where we have to be taken off the street because it would be too dangerous. And it may be where it may take three or four of us walking together down the street because the time would grow so terrible. He said, this was just taught, it was taught to us. And now, as I'm looking at the situation and the environment of how they're demonizing Islam, a white man can walk up into a black church, kill off everybody or shoot up the church. His religion is Christianity and nothing is said. You hear one person say, Allahu Akbar. Islam is a hate, a religion of hate. Islam is a religion that teaches violence. You see what I'm saying? This is a concerted effort by the government and the media and those in power to minimize violence of those who masquerade in the name of Islam to turn you against it, because they know you're not going to do research. But it won't work this day, because everything is falling apart for them. And no matter how hard they try, they cannot stop the bum rush. Now, I'm going to play another clip. I want you to pay close attention to this, what Mr. Gerald Celente says, and it's about this year, too. So listen closely.
It does Ritalin.
Do you think that it's unwinding now, that this is the year? A couple of people have missed this. I myself thought it would go in 15. Of course, China crashed in 15. But do you think it's crashing and winding now? David Stockman says that this whole little Ponzi scheme is going to unwind. That's not exactly what he said. He says this whole economy is going to unwind before the election cycle is finished. What trend do you see with the economy?
Well, here's the cover of our Trends Journal. Panic of 2016. It's underway. You mentioned about gold. What's gold's up over 20% since the beginning of the new year? You looked at the banking stocks. They were down. You had stocks like banking stocks like Deutsche Bank down 40%. You go across the line. And when they juice them up a little bit, follow the money. That's the story. Follow the money. Look at the problems the banks are in. Oh, now it's this negative interest rate policy? Yeah, that's right. The big banks, they charge them to stick the dough into the central banks, and they can't pass on that cost to the lenders, so the bank profits are going way down. Oh, and then there's another little story that nobody wants to talk about. And again, you read the BS from Draghi. He's blaming low inflation on lower oil prices. Hey, Draghi, could you add up more than one? How about iron ore? Could you figure in copper? What about zinc? Did you look at aluminum? There's a commodity crisis going on. I'm mentioning this because it all ties in together as they're going back to the banks, because when they started the heroin and cocaine addiction, that all that cheap money from quantitative easing went into the emerging markets. Yeah, all those resource-rich nations borrowing money for nothing and the banks loaning them more. Now, these resource-rich nations, whether it's South Africa, whether it's Venezuela, Brazil, go around the world, from Congo to Nigeria to Niger, one place after another, commodity prices are way down, they borrow this money in dollars, their currencies are way down, the banks loaned them the money, they have to pay it back now. And again, you talked about China. China takes in between 40 to 45% of those raw materials that are now selling at bargain basement prices. They're not going to be able to pay back their debt. Follow the banks. Follow the money. Money makes the world go round.
Now, listen close. I'm trying to get as many clips in as I can. I see it's 6 minutes. Brothers and sisters, would you please, if necessary, give me about 5 or 10 extra minutes over the time allotted, okay? And please don't answer your phones or click over or you'll be knocked off. So let's go to the next clip real quick.
Is gold really a reason why it's going up? I mean, gold is going up with copper and zinc and all the commodities, oil, all in the doldrums, all either in the doldrums or going down. Why is gold going up? Is it the premier collateral? Are people afraid of inflation? Why the gold play? Are people afraid the bonds are going to go poof?
It's not inflation in the sense that people talk about supply and demand inflation. If you have high demand and low supply, that drives the price up. This is a currency devaluation. So if you lived in Venezuela, for example, and you see inflation going up, 720%, and they just devalued your currency 30% like they did in Argentina, would you rather have gold or would you rather have their currency? So it's a devaluation. This is what I was saying. It's devaluation of currencies. From the yuan, you see that happening. It's all around the world. So people see what's going on. And look, euros. Would you want to hold euros as they're devaluing it? So that's what's pushing people into gold. And also, again, we've been saying this for years. When we said it, Nobody wanted to hear it. Now you're hearing it from the head of whether it's UBS or the central banker running Austria, that these policies of quantitative easing and negative interest rates are not working. They're flooding the world with fake money, backed by nothing and printed on nothing. It's collapsing in front of us. Their deal isn't working. Go back again. I began by reading that statement from Fisher when he commented last week on the anniversary of the bottom of the make. Everybody applauded. We saved the world from going into a depression. You saved the money junkies and you gave them more heroin and cocaine, Jack. That's all you did. But they applauded it then when they fed the money junkies how great this was, and every politician, every low-life prostitute applauded it. And now, the reason the markets went way down after Draghi announced more drugs was even the top cats admit that the freaks are hooked on their money junkies. And the only way they could survive is more heroin, but it's sometime, man, you overdose.
And see, this is where not just the European or the American, this is the global monetary scene. What you don't understand is all of this stuff that you see going on is based on commerce, based on trade, based on finance. And if God is to remove a world, which he said he would do, he must remove all of the pillars of their power. He must remove every semblance of the power of Yakub. Therefore, he goes to the very root and destroys the economic environment. He destroys their currencies, the trade, right? The money markets, the investment markets, the gold and silver markets, the precious oil markets. All of that stuff has been turned upside down. And nothing that they have done or is doing or will do will prevent the fall of America and the collapse of the Anglo world order. You need to get that in your head. And all of this goes right back to you and I. God condemned America to die. And remember, as America goes, so goes the white world. She's the richest, powerful, and the most influential of the white nations. She holds NATO together. She holds Europe together. She holds all an alliance with all of the white nations. So, if she suffers, and remember, the dollar is the base of the global monetary scheme. And as the dollar tanks, she loses her power, her sway, to bribe people, to invest in military, to pay her police officers, to pay this person and that person. The money becomes useless. And as the pillar, the main pillar of white supremacy and white privilege goes under, the black man comes from under the boot of his oppressor. Let's go to, I think it's, wait for our message to the black. Fall of America, Fall of America. Let's go to Fall of America real quick. Give me about 5-10 minutes with you, brothers and sisters. Chapter 53, that's what it is. The Great Commotion. This is what it's called. The Great Commotion. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us in this chapter, chapter 53, the Great Commotion of the government and people of America, the civil unrest, insurrection, mental excitement, and noisy confusion. There is no action that is being taken, nor can there be any action taken that would bring the people to a better condition of civil action. Listen to this part. The white American people have practiced evil and injustice to the man in the mud, the black slave, for so long that they think that there would never be any divine action taken against them for such evil and injustice. But this is what is now affecting. It is the actions of divine justice for the poor black man, the poor man, the black man. person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, has the power, and he is using his power on the wicked to bring them to their knees. Isn't that what we see in the day? God is bringing them to their knees. Whether it's America or Europe. Europe is crying about the refugee crisis because it's a heavy tax burden and a burden on their so-called Christian society. They shouldn't have went and bombed the Muslim nations. And anything that they receive from those people, they deserve it. And you know what? I've been hearing a lot of explanations on this. The white man trying to just, we're suffering from a Muslim, especially Alex Jones. It is not the rich white nations taking from the poor nations. It's the poor nations taking from the rich white nations. This is Alex Jones here, the same man that gave a leader of one faction an interview all day. But anyway, then he goes and says that there is a flood of Muslim extremists in Europe, which threatens the fabric of Europe to bring Europe to its knees. There's a cultural dilemma and an economic dilemma that Europe must face up, that Islam is invading to conquer Europe. Well, first of all, they forgot about what preceded those people coming over there. The illegal and unjust wars that bombed these countries into the Stone Age. And prior to that, the colonization of these nations, which they had stripped them of their financial and political independence and stole all the labor and the resources and the mineral riches. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. But Mr. Jerry Salente is the one that I heard come closest to explain it out of all of the white scholars. I think he did one of the best jobs, even though he wasn't 100% on it. I think he did one of the best jobs explaining the situation now facing Europe. And I want you to listen to what he said. This is 2 minutes, and we'll be right back after this.
This is the kind of thing that will happen.
Yeah, one last thing I wanted to get this in, and you said, and I want to read this quote in one of your writings recently. A gang of lunatics are running and ruining life on the planet. And I guess you could just look at just about anywhere on the planet, whether the Middle East or South China Sea or Europe or America. Just they look like these people are just nuts. Well, explain that. A gang of lunatics running and ruining life on Earth.
We talked about, for example, the presidential reality show, and you look at this. It's disgusting. Could you imagine Eisenhower on that stage?
Yeah. No.
All right. Now let's go to Europe. Look at the faces. Look at the names. From Cameron to Hollande. Go around the. Here they are. Last week, all meeting in Brussels, Greg, to figure out how to stop the refugee crisis. In all of the coverage, no one is talking about who caused the refugee crisis. It couldn't be Sarkozy and Cameron, along with Hillary Clinton, Samantha Rice, and Susan Powers, and Obama, that destroyed Libya because Gaddafi had to go, and now the place is a hellhole, and refugees and migrants are flooding through there. That never happened before when he was in power. Who else? Well, it couldn't be because you bombed Iraq into oblivion, killed over 1 million people. Oh, is that why they're leaving? They're leaving for their safety? No. They want to go to they want to go to Paris. Oh, how about Syria? I'll tell you, remember, Hillary Clinton again, and Obama and Kerry and Cameron and all the rest. Assad has to go, and we're going to support their moderate rebels that nobody could ever see and destroy one of the most prosperous countries in the Middle East. Who caused all these problems? Oh, I forgot Afghanistan. What about Yemen? But you never hear a peep from the people that caused the damage or the prostitutes calling them out on it. It's lunatics that are destroying the world, and then they're going to come up with solutions to fix it?
Yeah, it's not going to get any better anytime soon in the Middle East either, I don't think. Anyway, hey, listen, Gerald.
You see, somebody is recognizing what we're saying on the show is true. These scholars, they recognize that this is the time of confusion for the white world. These scholars, they're recognizing that nothing they can do can stop this. See, what may be clear to you may not be clear to them, because what we don't understand, and most Muslims don't get either, I'm talking about so-called followers of the messenger, is that these crises that are multiple and that are happening daily and even hourly, which have even the minds of the power elite boggled, these things were there for a reason. See, God let the situation get to this for a reason. He wanted it to be in such a condition that no person could get this stuff done or get you out of this situation but him. And once he gets you out of this and brings them down to their knees and gives you a new mind and a new heart, you would have to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is definitely the greatest. You would have to scream that out because you would recognize that China alone couldn't do it. Russia couldn't do it. Iran couldn't do it or wouldn't do it or wouldn't even attempt to do it. It took a God to come, a loving God, to destroy your taskmasters, free you at all costs, and make you the pillars and rulers of a new world. First, America must fall. This is the long walk. America's point of no return. Brothers and sisters, I love you. We'll talk on the next show. Go to the Hiram 1555 blog and donate. And I love you with all my heart. But all my heart does not compare to the ones that love you best. Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the mighty, mighty, mighty Nation of Islam. See you, brothers and sisters.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the mood I'm in. Day to day, the roads we take. Open now with
Napa Know-How.
The Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.